Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and all the honor and glory which is due unto you. We thank you for this day that you've made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies, Lord God. We give you thanks and we praise your holy name. Great and awesome is your name, Lord God. We thank you that you're in our midst, because you say we're two or more gathered together, you will be in the midst of us. So come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power and be among us. Be among us as those who believe. We pray blessings of all who are sitting here and all who are watching online. Have mercy upon us. You know everything about us. So speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak, because your children are listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are a refuge, you are strength, you are Savior, and you are Lord. Amen. And now, friends, here we are today. And the sermon title is Faith Leads to a Life of Readiness. The epistle, the Hebrew epistle, speaks of faith, which is going to be my focus, and Jesus speaks about being ready now, ready tomorrow, ready next week, because Jesus may return. So let me begin with this reflection about faith. And it's titled, The World Depends on Faith. The writer says, I didn't observe any of you come into this room and examine your chair before you sat in it. You just automatically committed yourself by faith to the chair, assuming it would hold you. Most of you got here by car. You slid in your car and turn on the ignition. And away you go. You don't have a clue as to what goes on behind the scene. You can't explain the process. You just trust it. The last time you went to a doctor, he wrote out a little prescription. You couldn't read it. And it's not true. We can never read it. In fact, you wondered if anybody could read that thing. Then you took it to your pharmacist and you gave it to him. Have you ever discovered when you give a pharmacist a prescription, he always disappears behind the screen? That shakes me up, the writer says. I often wonder what in the world the guy is doing back there. I wonder if he slept through his course in pharmacy school. But he gives you the little bottle and says, take it 3 times a day. And by faith, you do exactly what he tells you to do. Faith is woven into the system. Faith is woven into the system. And friends, most of the things we're doing it by faith, aren't we? We don't say it's faith, but we are believing in something. Amen? Next slide. For we walk by faith. Next slide, my brothers. Okay. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We won't say that, but oftentimes, we're walking by faith and not by sight, because we don't know what's ahead of us. There are things that we can plan out, and we could plan a vacation, and we could do all the things we want, but whether we get there or not, it is by faith, right? I often think when I get on a plane and I'm looking around at the cockpit and all the things, I said, do they know what they're doing? And what if they push the wrong button? I know it's all automatic, they say. A lot of it is automatic. And then we found out about pilots who are drunk, right? Now, we didn't know. By faith, we went on the plane. Amen? By faith, we believe. It says faith, next slide, and here's some points on faith. Faith is not shelter against difficulties, but belief in the face of all contradictions. I think oftentimes people want to say, those of us who believe by faith, is that we don't have difficulties or we're losing our minds or we're not smart, right? But they're believing in something. We all believe in something, right? So faith is not a shelter against difficulties, but believe in the face of all contradictions. Next point, faith isn't just an attitude. Faith is something that has to be applied. You have to choose to believe by faith. That believe by faith in God, one must choose to believe, right? Because faith isn't just an attitude. I just can't say, well, I have faith and don't apply it. Next slide. When the going gets tough, people start getting faith, right? Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor, and he states, a weak faith is weakened by predicaments and catastrophes, whereas a strong faith is strengthened by them, right? So there are degrees of faith, and there are things that happens in our lives that strengthen our faith, and there are things that cause our faith to waver. Now, friends, next slide. Faith needs an object. Or I could say an object or a subject, but certainly needs an object. Our faith, our belief, our trust and confidence needs an object. No matter what it is, it needs something that you we believe in. Our faith must be in someone or something. The one true God, the creator of all that is the only one worthy of our faith for those of us who believe. Amen? Believe by faith. Now, I want to take a moment here before I get to the points I want to make to tell you a true story that just happened last week. Our lawyer, and those of us who are here with JFON know our lawyer, right? I won't say his full name here online, but they know him. They know our lawyer, the immigration lawyer, the main immigration lawyer. He is the executive lawyer, very brilliant lawyer, and speaks several languages, but he decided to go into immigration. And you know our immigration ministry, we don't charge. We don't take anybody who has criminal records or anything because we get grants to our denomination. So we have to be particular. And we do a lot of children, unaccompanied minors, and so on. And he's brilliant. So he got up. We call him TJ. I could say his first name. He got up on last Monday, I believe. And he said, he's a runner. And he said he was felt lightheaded, and he was had to come into the city. Normally he would have been home, stayed home, but he had an immigration case that was pending, and he decided to come anyhow. Well, he had to take the train. They said the Long Island Railroad, but I think it's the Metro North because they're upstate. He has a home upstate, but it could be Long Island because he stays here sometime. Well, he was coming on the train, and he says when he got up to get off, he felt lightheaded again. But he got off and began to walk in the direction where he normally goes. And he doesn't know what happened. He was on the tracks. He doesn't know that he was on the track. People, when he came to, he was on the train track, not on the side that he was on, the opposite side that he must have kept walking and fell on. People were around him, and people were, trying to get him up, so many people, and that's when he came to, and they rushed him and took him to the hospital. He was in Bellevue for a few days. I believe he's out now. And I tell you this story because TJ, yes, he knows he is a God, but he's not a full believer. And I'm always praying for him. He has a son. He knows that in the meetings. I always say, when I'm praying, I says I pray, always praying for him. I think his partner, who's she's a lawyer also, a professor at a law professor, and she's Episcopalian. But he doesn't really, you know, believe. Although he does all the work for the church, he believes in God, but I think it's mostly religion. And so I'm always praying for him, you know, and saying, oh, one day you're going to join the Methodist church, and always. So he expects that. So when he was at the hospital, when I called him, because they told me, and I said, how are you doing, TJ? I could hear his voice shaking, and I says, after we spoke, and he says, he wants to come out of the hospital so bad. I says, TJ, may I pray for you? And he says, yes, Reverend Nunes. And I says, do you know this was a God moment? It's something we call a God wink moment, that God showed up for you. And I was surprised, and he says, I don't know what it is, but yes, I think this was something special. I says, you know, TJ, that's why we believe by faith that things happen, that God shows up sometimes in our lives. God shows up all in our lives when we least expect it, and will do something miraculous for us. And I'm praying by faith that this may make a turn in TJ's belief. But I'm leaving it up to God, that God would save him. And God is not particular. Here's a person who's not in church every Sunday, who doesn't believe, and here God would save him on the tracks in New York City. God will do that. We don't always understand why it doesn't happen to everybody. Why there's a storm and children die, I don't always get it. I don't know, but I still trust God, that God will bring us through. That's faith. Cannot explain it. It doesn't take away reason. Faith does not take away reason. I think I reason well enough. I understand. I can bring my questions to God. I don't always get an answer, but I'm allowed to do that. And when I don't get it, but I can still trust God by faith. Next slide. And so today, when we look at the scriptures, I have several points I'm going to make. They're not on the screen, but I'd like to say this first. This is from the Message Bible, Hebrews 11:1. And it writes it a little bit different than the NRSV. It says, faith is the fundamental fact of existence. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can see. We can't see it, but we believe it, right? The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can see. Faith. Can't explain it, can't see it, but we know that there is a God and we believe. Next slide. And so I want to leave this slide up for a minute. Faith leads to a life of readiness. Because if we believe in God and believe that Jesus will return, we believe by faith in God. We believe, we read the word, and we believe by faith. Then we what? Live a life of readiness. That means we seek to be ready to do the things of God. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Can't see, but we're walking. So let me give you 10 points, right? And they're on my paper. 10 points on 10 characteristics of faith that leads to a life of readiness. First point, assurance of God's promises. Faith is the assurance of God's promises. Faith is not living with our fingers crossed. It's a firm confidence in God and God's promises to us. Do we have a firm confidence in God today and God's promises to us? Have you ever been caught that, why does one family, you know, one of us, you know, we have children and grandchildren and they're well and healthy, and then somebody else doesn't have that same thing happening to them? That same promise, right? That God will do, that something will happen in one life that doesn't happen. But God has God's promises to us, and it's this assurance that faith is not living with our fingers crossed, that we believe in God and that God will do it. Number two, faith gives God our first and our best. That's what we call our first fruit. We give God, we call it sacrificial lifestyle. We are supposed to give God, right, our first and our best. We don't give God what is left over. If we believe in God by faith that God is going to bring us through, we shouldn't be giving God what's left over. We should be giving God our best, right? Giving God the best we have. Number three, faith is not a one-time decision. Faith chooses to believe in God and to follow him each day. It's not a one-time. We don't get up and say, I have faith. Here it is, I got faith and now I've got it. No. Sometimes what? Takes time in some lives to get that faith and to keep it going. It's like you're what? You're watering it and nurturing it and believing in God. Not a one-time decision at all. It's a thing we have to work on. Number four, a life of faith is really easy. It's really easy. Obedience to God often runs contrary to our culture and maybe even your family. A life of faith is not easy, the writer is really saying, because obedience to God often runs contrary to our culture and maybe even our family. You begin to live by faith, you begin to say you believe in God, and guess what? People in your family think you're nuts, right? The culture think you're crazy, right? Because everything is about me, and what I can do, what I can't do. I could do this, I could do that, right? Always surprises me that people believe it's all about them. Point five. We don't often see God's big picture. Usually we just see the next step, then the next step. Sometimes the next step doesn't even make sense to us. But faith trusts God that God has a plan and the power to carry it out. Right? Faith trusts God that God has a plan. Who knows what's going to happen to our church in a year? Who knows what's going to happen to our denomination? I know folks have been wanting to know about what is going to happen with the United Methodist Church, and we're putting some material together, I am, to give to the church council. We are meeting in September and then distribute it to the church. But the split will not happen, as our bishop says, until the general conference will be 2024. Right? It is not happening now. There's been a lot of judicial work and stopping them from leaving and all kind of things. Nothing is happening until 2024. So I'm telling you folks, pray. Stop being so worried. Stop wanting to know every little thing, because God is working through it. If someone had said 10 years ago that the Methodist was going to be talking about splitting in 2022, would we have said yes? No. We never believed it. 2019 was the last general conference. 2019 was when the discussion began. And now it's 2024. So by faith, we're trusting God while there's a lot of workings going on. And I am going to, there were three denominations that said they were going to, people could split into three denominations. one that's very traditional, one that's in between, the one that we're in now, you know, in the middle, and one that's very liberal. Very, very. Now that's gone. The one that's super liberal, all finished. Because they didn't have the people to do it. So it's only two at the moment. But we will know by faith. And we should be, as Methodists, pray and believe God. As Christians, whether you're Methodist or not, what God will do. Right? Because we can't change it. As our bishop says, we need to be praying. And friends, I will be giving you information from a human standpoint, but doesn't mean that God can't mess it up anytime. Right? We thought we were all in control and that the Methodist Church could never split. We thought we had it. We forgot that it wasn't always United Methodist. It used to be Methodist Episcopalian before it became United, joined up with the German church. We forget that they almost split, lost a lot of members over the issue of slavery. We forget all these things. So this is not the first isms and schisms that the United Methodist Church is facing. But by faith, we're trusting in God. Amen? We trust God when we don't understand, and God will. Number six, the best of God's promises to us are eternal. They won't be fully realized in this life. That's why Jesus said, "You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected time." Faith doesn't stop just now, right? Faith says there is eternity. I believe by faith that my brother that passed away is in heaven. By faith, I believe. And I trust God because he was a believer. Number seven, trust God to do the impossible. Circumstances may feel insurmountable, but faith knows God is all powerful. When I think of what may be happening to our denomination, it seems so insurmountable. But I'm trusting God. God who allowed John Wesley and Charles Wesley to start this, put this group of people together, calling it your Methodists. Right? So God is all powerful. Number eight, faith doesn't allow threats by humankind to keep it from obeying God. Faith does not make us, you know, the threats from whoever and whomever stop us from what? Trusting in God. We continue to trust in God no matter what. Number nine, faith chooses God over pleasure of sin and the love of money. Faith will always choose God. And number 10, faith endures persecution for the sake of Christ. Although faith doesn't seek persecution, it stands firm in God. We don't seek persecution, but we stand firm believing in God. Do you remember that story in about the young girl, I think it was Colorado, was a Christian, and when they were shooting in that school, right, and they asked her if she was a believer. The young man asked her if she was a believer, and she said yes, and he shot her. Now, do I have the faith to have said yes? I think I would say yes. But would I want to be shot? No. Would I have assumed that I'm going to be shot? No. Right? So, with faith, we make bold steps, some of us. Not all of us have the same faith. You see, faith and hope binds us to Christ. Hope sets this faith open to the comprehensive future of Christ. You see, this is an inseparable companion of faith. Without faith's knowledge of Christ, hope becomes a utopia and remains hanging in the air, right? If you're just hoping, what are you hoping on? But without hope, faith falls to pieces, becomes a faint-hearted and ultimately a dead faith. It is through faith that we find the path of true life, but it's only hope that keeps us on that path, because we believe. We believe by faith. There's a song that says, as I come to a close, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed me yet. Oh, I can't turn around. We have come this far by faith. Friends, have we come this far by faith? Are we going to turn around? And it's a really good beat, and it says, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We have come this far by faith. Can't turn around at my age now. I'm older than many of you think, and there's no turning back. And then we have another song that says, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Till I die. Red friends, members, will you trust in the Lord? Members, will you trust in the Lord? Members, will you trust in the Lord till you die? Members, will you trust in the Lord? Members, will you trust in the Lord? Members, will you trust in the Lord till you die? Amen. We're going to trust in the Lord until we die. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering, friends. For the faith, let's give God a praise offering for sending Jesus Christ to save us by faith. Amen?